This is Joe Gunkel. You're listening to H10 Hunching Tigers English News.
The year of the Tiger, the year of your Hanshin Tigers, which makes it the year of H10 Hanshin Tigers English News. I'm your host, T-Ray, and joining me from paradise on Earth, Hawaii, is Sanjay. How you doing, brother?
Aloha, brother T-Ray. I'm doing well. I'm doing a lot better given our record for the Interleague games. How about you?
Yeah, June has been an outstanding month for the first 14 days. Today is the 15th day of the month, and this is episode 151 of our pod. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. We have got a great show for you today as we talk about foreign position players. I know it's not really a new topic, but it is going to be new stuff here that we talk about. So strap in and join us for a great ride. First, it's time for the Rumors and News.
Rumors and News.
News. First up on the rumor board, that's right, rumor board, is that we found out on June the 7th or 8th that the Tigers were hunting for a right-handed power bat. This came to us via the interwebs, and the top guy on the list, Adrelin Rodriguez, who used to play for the Oryx Buffaloes, is now pretty much all but certainly going to be signing with the Hanshin Tigers. There were other guys mentioned in the article, but we'll just leave them because I don't think they are joining us now. We are going to talk in depth about A-Rod, if you will, later in the show. He's part of the foreign position players talk that we are going to do, so we'll leave it at that. Let's get on to some news, and we're going to talk about some call-ups and some send-downs. So on May the 31st, Fujinami got called up to play in the bullpen, and Rojas also got a call-up. Roughly a week later, Yuasa was deactivated just to give him some rest. He was our eighth inning guy, and Kyle Keller got the call up the very next day, which was Tuesday the 7th. Umino also got called up on that day. And so Katayama got sent down, just a swapping of catchers. So we have three regular, fully capable catchers on the top squad now, Sanjay.
That's right. And four, if you count the Gooch man.
That's right. Although I think he is gone because let's bring that right now. Yeah. 2 days ago, he tested positive for COVID-19. So he will be gone for, well, as long as it takes for that to be out of his system. And then if he needs more practice time or farm time, whatever it might be. So for the time being, yeah, he is not available off the bench in any situation. Now, we said that Fujinami got activated on the 31st of May. He got deactivated on the 13th after Interleague ended, for the purposes of bringing him back into the rotation potentially. And that's an interesting move, if you ask me, Sanjay. I mean, this is a guy that went five straight mounds from the bullpen without giving up a run. Looked good. He beefed us up down there. Do you really think that we need to put him back in that rotation?
To be honest with you, I don't know where we'd fit him in. I think he serves us better, at least as an arm out of the bullpen, you know, that you can count on for some outs later in the game and in matchup situations.
Sure seems that way. Now, the only place that I could see him fitting in is that, Akiyama, who was in the rotation pretty much since 2017,
right,
has knee problems. And so he is going to be on the farm, just taking care of his injury for at least the next couple of weeks. And they're saying that he won't be available for the top squad until at least sometime in July. I would say a conservative estimate would be maybe even after the All-Star break. And so perhaps the thinking is that the spot that he was going to occupy, perhaps, you know, replacing Junya if he is, you know, fatigued from being young and inexperienced, came up. So I'm thinking maybe he slides into that spot, but I'm not really sure. But anyhow, it is what it is. This is the team making quote unquote wise decisions, which I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt, because if I made the decisions, I would look like a fool.
Can I throw another rumor in there then?
Yep.
And it's regard to Fujitami Shintaro, and I saw it today, so it must be fairly new. There was one manager who said he would want to take Shin-chan. Guess who that was? Somebody we know very well. Big Boss. And the thinking was that Big Boss understands Fujinami, the type of person he is, and would give him free reign, and he would really blossom in that environment where he's not under a microscope like he would be with the Tigers. So put that in your hat and then throw it out, I guess.
Well, you know, it's not out of the realm of possibility. And I don't think that would be why we deactivated him. But there are some young hitters on the Fighters that I would say are very attractive. And I wouldn't mind if we pulled into the fold if we could get them in a trade. But anyhow, that's interesting. That's interesting. There's your rumors part of the rumors and news. So also being deactivated along with Fujinami on the 13th of June was closer Iwazaki. Now for him, it's just a 10-day rest period, which I guess means the first five games when we come back, he will not be available. And they say that Alcantara is going to be our closer for at least those five games until Iwazaki is ready to come back. Okay. Here's an interesting one for you, and we're going to get to this in the recaps as well, but Aoyagi dropped his ERA below one on June the 4th, and under one on June the 7th, pardon me, or June the 4th, pardon me. So he's the seventh pitcher since 1990 to have a sub ERA in the month of June, not counting 2020 when the season started in June. So in 32 years, only six other pitchers have accomplished this. I would say that's pretty impressive.
It is indeed. It's crazy.
So there is our new ace, the guy that, you know, has still not had an opening day start, but he is definitely the class of our pitching staff, which is quite star-studded. Speaking of star-studded pitchers, Wilkerson won CL Pitcher of the Month in May. So how do you like that? His ERA on the month was 1.03. And I think I had named him the Pitcher of the Month for our team on the last pod, and you named Aoyagi, which is also an outstanding choice. So pretty good stuff, you know, for Wilkerson to do that in his very first month of top squad action in Japan.
Congratulations, Wilk.
Yeah. Looking forward to more. I hope that so far what's happened in June is just an aberration and you get back to your outstanding self the rest of the way. Okay. A little bit of injury related stuff. So our fourth round pick of the past year, Maegawa, who everyone seems to be really excited about, returned to action on the 7th of June. He hit a home run on the 9th of June. That's his first ever home run. But then he also re-injured himself on the 12th of June. I think it is less serious. He ran into the wall trying to chase down a fly ball. But anyways, seems like he needs to get his health in order. Other injuries we got to talk about. Kinami injured his knee. I think the diagnosis took place on the 7th. And so he is going to be missing some time. He was on the farm anyways. Oh, by the way, happy birthday, Kinami. Today is his 28th birthday.
Otanjoubi omedetou.
Omedetou gozaimasu. And get well soon and get back to contributing soon. Onegaishimasu. Okay. And finally, what's going on with Jeffrey Marte? He was getting into some game action and then all of a sudden he disappeared from the roster for the whole week of June 7th to 12th. And I didn't read any articles. Did you hear anything about what's going on with him?
No, not specifically, but in the discussion about the looking for a new position player, they were saying that Marte has his recurring lower body issues, which may or may not be new. You know, he's always had that. So I don't know.
Right. I would assume that it's that and it's not something else, but just the same. I mean, that just doesn't look good when you've made a couple of farm appearances and then you don't make any for six straight games. Yeah, makes it sound like something is up and that this is going to take a lot longer than originally expected. Well, we're going to talk about import hitters later in the show, so we'll shelf that for now. And it's time to discuss the farm.
Doing our best on the farm. Gotta make the coaches see I can make my plays on the first team.
So, we had an incredible incredible 13-game win streak, my man, that ended on June the 10th, I believe. So until the 9th of June, we were 13 straight wins. We vaulted into first place. Then we faced the second place Hawks and lost. This is at home, by the way. 3-0, 9-2, and 15-2. So we got spanked around. We're back down in second place, 28-21-2 record. But I think that a lot of stuff is going well on the farm. Now, the issue that we've got is a couple of injuries in Marte, and then Haraguchi is unavailable. So the number of, and then Kinami as well, pardon me, the number of guys available to play in those games is significantly reduced, which could lead to the team racking up some more losses in the weeks to come, which, you know, they're not playing for wins and losses there anyways. They're playing to get better or playing to, you know, work through injuries or, you know, get back into game shape after injuries, whatever. So it's cool.
Yeah. And as long as we don't have to play like, what was it, six catchers or position players out of position or something the other day, you know, when they had the injury or the COVID issues. So
yeah. That was crazy. That was back in April that we did that. For sure. Well, a couple of hitters that we want to highlight, and those would be Egoshi, who had a home run in each of those last two games against the Hawks. So that's good stuff. I feel like, you know, he's like he's the Fujinami of position players, where we're like, come on, Egoshi, we know what you got. Come out now. Show us your real stuff, you know, or show us your real self. And it just never seems to come. Well, hopefully it will at some point before he ends up leaving the Tigers, which if he doesn't start performing, is going to happen soon.
It's the year of the Taiga.
Yeah, well, there you go. He should be vaulting then to the top of the list for guys to get called up. Okay, another guy is Obata, who is batting. He's slashing 264, 317, 363. Still looking good in the field. And I just think that this is a kid that is just waiting for the opportunity to take one of those spots in the middle infield on the top squad. He does need to work on his plate discipline. As we saw when he was on the top squad, he strikes out way too much for a guy that doesn't really have a ton of power. So we'd like to have his contact rate go up. And I think if he can do that, he is definitely capable of being a regular on the top squad. And for pitchers, I've got three names for you. Three guys that during towards the end of this win streak had outstanding outings. Those would be Kirishiki, our third round draft pick this past year, went 7 innings pitched, no runs against. Saiki, who recently got dropped from development player to regular player, I guess promoted, not dropped. He promoted. Lost one of his digits. 5 innings pitched and no runs against on the 7th. And then Wei In Chen with 5 innings pitched and no runs against on the 8th. So those are three guys to keep your eyes and ears on for them possibly being called up to the top squad for a spot start.
I would like to see Wei In Chen on the top squad once and see what he can do.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I mean, he only got 2 starts last year. One went well, the other didn't. But yeah, I think it might be Chen time before we know it. Before we get into the recaps, let's thank some of our awesome patrons. And you can be one of this crew if you go to patreon.com/thehanshintigers. I want to thank Shane Barclay, who is running Japan Ball. Unfortunately, they had to cancel the summer Koshien tour that they had planned, but they did announce the unveiling, I guess, if you will, of a 2023 spring training tour in Okinawa. So be sure to go to japanball.com for details, or you can ask me, or you can ask Shane. We always love to hear from baseball fans out there. Richard Geiwitz, who joined us for the viewing party in June, which already passed. It was June the 4th or 5th, I believe, and the Tigers won. So we broke our losing streak. Thanks for joining on that, Richard. Look forward to next time. Tom Zilla on the Being Kansai social networking platforms of Instagram and Twitter and more. Go check him out if you want to know what's going on in this awesome part of Japan. Also want to thank Rick Silvers and Fran, who are on the digital platform. Doug, I believe, is as well, who's in the Netherlands. And Michael Schulke is on the Koshien tour, waiting for those doors to open and for his tickets to be bought so that we can take in a Tigers ball game together. Correct me if I'm wrong, Sanjay, but I believe we both said the team was going to go 7-5 during this stretch of 12 games.
I think that's what we said.
The verdict is we were both wrong in a good way. The team went 9-3 during this stretch. So let's get to it.
Who would have thunk it? Who would have thunk it?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And we're going to get to the final good news on that at the end of these recaps. So please listen right through to the end. The very first game, we are breezing right through. Nishi was great. 7 innings pitched, 1 run against, that being a home run from Yamakawa of the Lions. He's leading Japan in home runs. So, hey, it is bound to happen. And then Iwasada gave up a run. So we lost 0-2. Yep, get used to them shutout losses. There's more coming our way. The next game, though, we came back and we pounded them for 5 runs early. I think we had a run in the first inning to kind of end our streak of shutout innings, and then an explosion in the bottom of the third with a Teru RBI and an Oyama 3-run home run. Junya got fatigued in the top of the sixth, yes. But the team hung on. We used a couple of relievers to close that door, and then we got our usual 3 to end the game in the 7th, 8th, and 9th. That would be Alcantara, Yuasa, and Iwazaki. So 5-4 win on June the 1st. That starts the beginning of a great month. The very next day, Gunkel was outstanding. It took until hit number 10 of the game, though, for our team to score a support run for him. As you may have noticed, if you're tracking along, Gunkel doesn't get a lot of run support. Well, in this one, he started to get run support. It all started with him. He got 3 hits. The team got 17 hits, and they piled up 6 runs overall. And another highlight in this game that we have to point out is that Fujinami got to pitch against his old battery mate from Osaka Tōin in Tomoya Mori, who's the catcher of the Lions. It was a 1-pitch showdown. I was hoping it was going to go like have a deep count or whatever, and that Shin-chan could strike him out on a full count or something like that. No, 1 pitch, and it was a double down the right field line. But the team was up, you know, by a comfortable margin at that point, so nobody really cared that it happened. So anyways, it is what it is. We won that series 2-1. Good on us. And it's time to continue the home stand, which continued against the Nippon Ham Fighters. Friday night, I was at the game. Lucky me. Not lucky me for the first 3 innings, though. Wilkerson, simply not his usual self. As we said, he won the pitcher of the month for the month of May for the CL, but he gave up 2 in the first, 1 in the second, and 4 in the third. So he went 3 innings pitched, 7 runs against. I think they were all earned. He did not even get a single at bat. The good news in this one is, Oyama. Home run in the bottom of the second, it was a solo shot. Home run in the bottom of the fourth, it was a solo shot. So we were down 7-1, and then he made it 7-2. Hojo with an RBI single in the bottom of the fifth, so now it's 7-3. Itohara with an RBI, and Nagasaka with a bases loaded double play in the bottom of the sixth, so now it is 7-5. Oyama with another solo home run in the bottom of the eighth to lead that
one
off.
That's three.
Yes, and imagine if somebody had been on base in front of him. You know, he would have had more than 3 RBI on the night, but 3 home runs was still just unbelievable. I actually, to be honest, I missed the first one because I was out getting food, and like the game was kind of the mood at the game was not that good at that point. It was 3-0 already at that point. Anyhow. So yeah, his third made it 7-6. And then I just got lost in my notes. Okay, there we go. So if you want to cut this part, that's cool. Show. Then right after his home run, Itohara and Rojas got hits. Itoi walked, so it's bases loaded. Yamamoto with an RBI single, which ties the game. Shimada with a bases loaded walk, which gives us the lead. And then Chikamoto with an RBI single, 9-7, come from behind, being down 7-1 and making Big Boss's return to Koshien a rather bittersweet experience. Thank you, Tigers, and thank you, Big Boss, I suppose, as well. But what a game that was. It was just, like, exciting to be at the stadium for that one.
It's very Shinjo-esque, isn't it, to sort of make a lot of noise. And, you know, at the very end, he gives us the victory. I like it.
Yeah, yeah, appreciate it. You know, and he's going to come out with something in the offseason saying that, you know, like this is part of his plan or that he was cool with it or something. So it'll be interesting to see what he says at season's end if he does mention that game. But I'm sure people are going to ask him, like, hey, talk about your return to Koshien. And so it'll come up.
Well, actually, if you go to YouTube, there's some clips about of him when he goes to exchange line of cards, and he has his phone camera up there and is taking pictures of the stands and doing all kinds of things. It was kind of cool.
Didn't he do an Instagram live on one day as well?
I think he might have done that.
I think he did a pregame one. And then, like, just as a side note, later on in Interleague, when he did the lineup card exchange with the Dragons manager, Tatsunami, he was wearing like googly eye glasses that he said he bought at Don Quixote. I'm sure he didn't go there. I'm sure he had someone go there buy them, but there was just these cheapo, like 200 yen, you know, gag glasses, and he wore them when they did the exchange of the lineup. So I don't know. And people will say it's shenanigans or whatever, but like, it's just Shinjo having fun. I'm cool.
He's having fun.
Okay. Let's get back to our recaps here. Saturday, the 4th, we win 3-0. Aoyagi again, super steady, 8 innings pitched, 4 hits and 8 strikeouts. And, we finally started getting hits in the 4th inning. Oyama with an RBI single to start things for us, and then 2 more in the 5th on Nakano and Chikumoto singles. So a 3-0 win for us. And then, hey, let's complete the sweep. And yes, this was the viewing party for H10 and Patreon. An 8-3 win on Sunday afternoon. Sato with an RBI single, and then Oyama with a home run. That was in the bottom of the 3rd. So it kind of mirrors what happened back on June the 1st for the first 4 runs of the game. And then in the top of the 6th, they rallied for 3 runs, but, you know, so that was the end of the outing for Ito. But then bottom of the 8th, Onodera with an RBI triple, and then Shimada with a single to bring him home. And so sweep it, sweep it, sweep it, guys. We're curling and you're sweeping and we are winning. That was awesome. It was a great homestand. 5 straight wins to end it, and a 5-1 record on the whole.
And undefeated in June.
Yes.
At that point.
And let's keep it going. We go into Fukuoka to face the Hawks, who I believe at this point were in first place. They no longer are. But Nishi, again, brilliant in this one. 6 innings pitched, 6 hits, 1 walk, and 7 strikeouts. Shutout innings, I might add, because we shut them out 2-0. We didn't get many chances, got our first run in the top of the 6th, kind of a lucky single to pitcher for Shimada, Chikumoto single, and then a 2 RBI double out of Oyama. That was the only scoring in that game. Well, remember I said at the start of the recaps, let's get used to these zeros. Well, we suffered a couple of zeros the rest of the way against the Hawks. So just breeze through them. 0-2 against the Hawks, and Junior was good. 7 innings pitched and 1 run against, and then 0-4 on the Thursday game. Wilkerson on 5 days rest, struggled, 4 innings pitched and 3 runs against. So, you know, in his last 2 games, and he's got 7 innings and 10 runs against, out. But Colin Ray, I believe is how you pronounce it, I'm not sure, was really good for the Hawks. Complete game shutout. And Keller, I think, got his first action in this one. It was 1 inning pitched, 1 hit, and 3 strikeouts. So he looked like a different man out there, Sanjay. I don't know if you noticed that.
Yeah, I heard that he was a lot more comfortable out there. He did give up that 1 hit, but his breaking stuff had more bite to it, which is the way it should have been when he first started, had he had more time to prepare, probably.
Yeah, and I think his fastball also had a couple more ticks on the radar gun as well. So definitely looking good there. Okay. Well, that ends our time in Fukuoka. We come back to our second home away from home, I suppose, if you will. That would be Kyocera Dome. The first home away from home, of course, as we all know, is Yokohama Stadium. So we're facing the Buffaloes to end off the Interleague. And actually, we still have a chance at the Interleague title at this point. But we do need some help from those same Hawks. If they had been able to defeat the Swallows, which they weren't, they got swept, then we would have had a shot at first. It didn't happen. We won all 3 of our games, though. Friday night, it was Oyama with an RBI double in the top of the 2nd, and then a 3-run home run in the top of the 5th. Chikumoto with an RBI single in the top of the 6th. 6-1 win. Their only run came against Kyle Keller, who gave up 3 hits but struck out 2. Actually, the only 2 outs that he got were by strikeout. I do have to say, a couple of those hits were kind of lucky. So there was 1 clean hit, a couple of kind of cheapo hits, and that's how they got the 1 run. So I don't think like there's reason to panic or say, see, he's not better. I think he's still fine. So 6-1 there. And then Saturday we got Ito on the mound for us. And they have got Yamamoto, the reigning Sawamura Award pitcher. So it's looking kind of bad for us. We gave up a run in the bottom of the 1st, and it was an unearned run because of an E7, our left fielder Shimada, with that one. And then they got a 2nd run that came on a broken bat double. So it was kind of like a bloop double, if you will. We're down 2-0, and Yamamoto's still on the mound and looking really good. But Sato gets us an RBI triple, which is actually just their defender missing at trying to short hop, catch one on a short hop in right field. But anyhow, it's a triple. We got one run on that, and then a pass ball tied the game up. So they kind of like two defensive blunders kind of gave us a couple of runs. And then both teams had chances in the ninth and 10th. This was another really exciting game. Top of the 11th, Sato with a single, and then they pinch run Kumagai. Man, did you see this? I know you weren't available. You weren't watching as you usually might, but did you see it?
I saw the clip afterwards. Yes.
Okay. So Kumagai, the pinch runner, goes for the steal, which I thought took guts as well, you know, just because I think we still had no outs at this point. And he slides comfortably into second base. There was nobody covering the base properly. And so the throw was errant because there was nobody there. It deflected off of Kumagai's helmet and went into left center. And he cruised around the bases to come home for the game-winning run. And then we shut it down in the bottom of the 11th and won 3-2 on Kumagai's awesome running.
Speed kills.
Well, man, our team has definitely gotten abundance of that because Kumagai is not even a starter, nor is Ueda. And then, you know, when you consider we have those two guys on the bench, but then our 1-2-3 guards are Shimada, Nakano, and Chikamoto. Those latter two are number one and two in stolen bases. Well, we've got ourselves some speed on our hands.
Loving it.
Yes. And let's cap things off with a triumphant and exciting win on Sunday, 9-1. So RBI singles out of Chikamoto and Sato in the top of the third. Oyama with a 2 RBI single in the top of the fifth. Sato with a 2 RBI double in the top of the seventh. So he's got 3 ribs on the day. Better make it 6 because he crushed one in the top of the ninth, a 3-run home run. So it was a 9-0 win. Gunkel was very close to a complete game shutout. He actually allowed no one into scoring position until 2 outs in the bottom of the ninth and just happened to give up a hit that gave them their 1 run. Who cares? He got his first complete game in Japan and we won that series. We went 12-6 in Interleague, good for second place, bringing our record up to, Sanjay, 29 wins, 35 losses, 1 tie. What place are we in now? Fourth, my man.
Fourth. Woo-hoo! Yes. May the fourth be with you.
Yes, the fourth has been with us, and hopefully it won't be with us long because we'd love to get into third. We're only 2 games back of the Carp. We are also just 0.005% ahead of the Bay Stars, so it's a tie, but we're a little bit ahead in winning percentage. We know how that works because last year that's the margin that we lost the pennant by, I believe, something close to that. So, yeah.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Now, whatever it was that Oyama was having for breakfast this month, or and for that matter, whatever Joe Gunkel was eating before his starts too, man, long may it continue.
Yeah. And lunch and dinner. Just don't change anything except your underwear.
Even that.
Yeah, even that I'll leave up to you because I'm not going to be anywhere near you guys. All right. Well, thanks guys for an exciting 12-game stretch. And as much as we would love to just keep on with the great news, we got to pick on the manager, don't we?
Yep.
Was that on purpose? Pull the whole outfield? Yano? Who's that? I've never heard of him before. Who is that? Yano?
So here we go. It's a broken record. I know. We called up Mel Rojas on May the 31st. And, you know, because he is batting, what, 361 or something on the farm, doing really well. He's in a good groove. He's all hot. He's, you know, seen a lot of live pitching and he's hit a lot of live pitching. And what does Yano do? Puts him down on the bench for 3 straight games, puts him in 7 of the 12 games since the call up and only 4 starts during that time. And, you know, he didn't do great as far as his batting average. He was just 2-for-13, but he also walked 3 times and got hit by a pitch. So actually he reached base 6 times in 17 plate appearances, which is not too bad. But if you'd started him right from the start, man, when he was still hot, get him in there game 1. I'm tired of this. He does this so much to everybody. The only person he hasn't done it to, and we didn't mention this in the entire recap, we should have, Takatera, who got called up to the top squad, 19 years old. They called him up and plugged him right into the starting lineup. You'd think if anybody needs a call up and just some time on the bench to calm down and to watch things and to soak it all in, it would be a young guy.
You mean the 19-year-old?
Yeah. Not the guy that's, you know, like desperate to prove himself and doing an outstanding job on the farm.
I can't disagree one bit.
Yeah, I can't find many people that could disagree. I mean, Mr. Yano maybe, and maybe some of his yes men, but that might be about it.
Hanshin Tigers English News. Hanshin Tigers English News. Hanshin Tigers English News. Hanshin Tigers English News. Hot topics. Hot topics.
All right, it is time for us to talk about the new import signing. It is not official, at least not as of what, 45 minutes ago when I last checked my socials. So if I check it after this recording, it may be official. Or by the time you get this recording, ladies and gentlemen, it may be official. The Hanshin Tigers are signing Adrelin Rodriguez, also known as Sanjay.
A-Rod,
that's right. He is a first baseman. We've signed him to a contract, or will sign him to a contract. And so we have got some questions about this, like, who is he? What's he done? How does he fit into our lineup? And so on. And that's what we're going to talk about here. So, Sanjay, can you give us a little bit of a breakdown on who Adrelin A-Rod Rodriguez is?
Sure. I'm happy to do so. A-Rod, our A-Rod, is a 30-year-old Dominican player who joined the New York Mets in 2008, and from there went on to the Seattle Mariners and the Orioles and the Padres. He's 6'3", 210 pounds, or for you metric types, it's 190 centimeters and 95 kilograms. He was last in the Padres AAA organization in El Paso. And in 2020, he came to play for the Buffaloes. In 59 games, he hit .218 with six home runs and 25 RBIs, and was let go after that.
He had an injury, actually, which is he got hurt, which is one of the things that caused him to get less playing time and also to leave early, I believe.
Right.
Yeah.
So in 2021, he signed with the Detroit Tigers, not the Hanshin Tigers, but the Detroit Tigers. And, you know, maybe this is a good omen. He was the AAA East Region MVP for the year, batting .290 with 29 home runs, 94 RBI. Now, if you want to poke holes at his game, he had 127 strikeouts to 42 walks in 116 games. That's a proud OPS of 927. And I would say that, you know, anything close to that, you know, with our Tigers would work very well. Thank you very much. However, he was offered a minor league contract at the end of the season, and he declined, making him a free agent. And he signed in 2022 with the Padres as a minor league contract, but with an invitation to spring training, hoping to make the squad. He's actually listed as a first base / third base and left field, which I put a big question mark next to, because I really think he is a corner infielder and really a first baseman at best. That's where he was playing with the Padres this year. But he's got the uniform and the mascot name down, you know, between the Padres and the Tigers. So I'm hoping for good things from him. What do you think?
Well, so his numbers with El Paso in AAA this year are actually pretty good. So in 45 games, he's got 46 RBI, which includes 12 home runs and 10 doubles. He's also struck out 45 times to 14 walks. So that keeps with roughly his ratio of 3 strikeouts to 1 walk. Of course, you know, like it's natural for us to get excited about these guys, and often we pronounce judgment within the first 5 games that they play. But I don't think that's fair to A-Rod to do that this year, nor has it been fair to do that to any of the guys that have come and joined our team. So let me just say, first of all, about his position playing. According to Baseball Reference, which I'm looking at right now, he has all of 29 innings of experience in left field. So, and that was several years ago. I think it was in 2018. So I wouldn't count on him to play any outfield, even though, like, the articles that we read in Japan, and sometimes even like the chairman of Hanshin, who really doesn't know squat about baseball, will say things like, yeah, I heard that he's got experience playing first base, third base, and the outfield, and completely neglects to say it was 29 innings and it was in the minor leagues. And, you know, his fielding percentage at third base for his career is .888, which is absolutely horrid. So you definitely don't want him at the hot corner. You definitely don't want him in the outfield. So basically he is a first baseman.
Yep.
So when you look at things in that respect, then it seems like he is, you know, he is being prepared to take Marte's place at the very least.
That's what it sounds like.
Right. So the interesting thing about Marte and someone taking Marte's place, the last import hitter that we signed mid-season was in Marte's first year. And I'm not sure that it was necessarily to replace Marte, because I think they even played in the infield together at least for a few games. But Marte did spend a good part of 2019 injured, or at least a good month. And that would be Jan-Harvis Solarte. And if you remember that name, I mean, he was definitely, he came on the scene with some really exciting games at the start of his Tigers career. Ended up, though, batting just 188 with four home runs. This would be in 20 games. So he didn't really get a fair shake. And his OPS was a 681, and he committed four errors during his short time with the team. Yeah, he was the guy who lost motivation, and we could do a whole episode on him and what happened with him. But he's the most recent of our midseason acquisitions. It definitely did not pan out, as we just heard. It only lasted for 20 games. So the question then is, like, what are the hopes that the team has for Rodriguez? Like, is he definitely going to be like the Marte replacement just for this year, or are we looking to keep him on for next year? Like, is this an audition for next year or not?
Well, I forgot to mention that he does have 215 homers in the minor leagues. And I think that that's what they're hoping for.
They've definitely been trumpeting that as well in all the articles that talk about him. But I've also heard a lot of Oryx fans say, what are they doing? Like, I like Oryx, and I was excited when Rodriguez came to our team, but he is not your guy, and his defense is atrocious, and he's definitely unclutch. And they had all sorts of stuff that they were saying about him, nothing against his personality. And of course, you know, I'm just regurgitating what other people have said, so I'm not pronouncing judgment by any means either. But I will say this, I did find, this is one of our friends who did a prediction on our show in 2021, and predicted quite wrongly, but he's still a very cool follow on Twitter. Rainichi Baseball, Rainichi_bball is his Twitter handle. Anyways, he had said this. He said, if I had to make a comment about Rodriguez, it would be this. After he played with Oryx, he was the MVP in AAA, as you mentioned, right? And then also last year in the winter leagues, he won the gold glove at first base, which is something that I would have never guessed, except actually I started following him on Instagram and he's got a picture of that gold glove. So it is definitely true. He is also just 30 years old. And so, you know, when you look at those two things, like, it is still possible it's that we're getting a different guy than the Buffaloes got in 2020. So I'm not completely without hope. I'm not completely skeptical about this by any means. I am simply skeptical in that the midseason acquisitions of position players have not gone particularly well for us. So before Solarte, there was a certain guy named Efren Navarro in 2018, and he was coming in because Rosario simply did not pan out. And Navarro was adequate, but I was even surprised that they brought him back for 2019. Like, I really didn't think his numbers merited that, but they did, and he got very limited playing time in 2019, and then he was sent to pasture. That was the end of his time with the Tigers and the end of his time, I believe, in professional baseball, although I could be wrong. Before that, in 2017, because Campbell simply was not working out, Eric Campbell, Soup. We picked up Jason Rogers, and I thought Rogers was doing pretty well. I mean, his batting average with runners in scoring position with the Tigers was 300, or pretty close to it. His OPS was 759, which is not, it's not, definitely not too amazing, but it's not too bad.
Not shabby. And
he did have five home runs in 40 games, which is, I mean, you know, one every eight games. So it's not like an outstanding pace or anything, but it's pretty close to 20. And on that Tigers team, that actually was not too bad, because I think Nakatani was the only, no, he didn't hit. Oh, he hit his 20 in 2017. That's right. Yeah. 20. So, you know, he was the best home run hitter we had. So Rogers is probably our number two power guy that year. Him or Itoy. But they cut him after that season. And then before that, we had a guy named Nelson Perez that came in mid-2015. I don't know if you even remember him.
Oh, gosh. I remember the name. I don't know much about him.
So Merton was struggling that year, and they brought Perez in from the BC League as a way to light a fire under Merton. But actually, Perez never even got into top squad action until 2016. And he only got 10 at-bats. And as far as I remember, 10 plate appearances, I think he had a walk and nine outs. Like, he didn't record a hit as a Tiger. So all of these midseason acquisitions, like, none of them really lasted long-term. The best would be Navarro, who lasted like a season and a half, or not even, it was part of one season, part of the next. The only exception I can find to this, and I didn't dig back too deep into history, but that would be 2009. We picked up a certain guy named Craig Brazell midway through that season. He was having himself a great time in independent ball in the northern part of the States. I think he was in like Minnesota or something like that, like playing for St. Paul or something, St. Cloud or something like that. And he was doing really well. He had played for the Lions the year before.
And that's right. So he wasn't a complete unknown though.
Right. Right. Which is similar to A-Rod then, because A-Rod also played for the Buffaloes and then left for a while. Now he's coming back. So it's
I'm liking the factors aligning here.
Former Pacific League player, left because he wasn't wanted on his team anymore, did well back in North America and gets called to the Tigers mid-season. Yeah, all of those things line up. Now, we don't want to call anyone the second coming of anyone because we know how that works in Tigers land. Nobody's the second Randy Bass, and we don't even want anyone to be the second Craig Brazell. We just want A-Rod to be A-Rod. Yeah, the second A-Rod would be nice. Okay. Minus the attitude. Okay. But so Brazell, just in case you're not familiar with his story, came to the Tigers, was all right in 09, but 2010 was the year that he really just exploded and hit what, 47 home runs. And he stuck around anyways. Him. Yeah. And then the ball, they started using just a dead ball for 2011 and 12, and his numbers were not great. I think he led the team in home runs in 2012 with 12 home runs. And that was the end of his time with the Tigers. So all that to say, I don't know what to expect, but I'm keeping my personal expectations tempered for A-Rod. I definitely would welcome him to the team, and we definitely need some more pop, especially from the right side of the plate, although Oyama has been taking care of business there quite nicely. The question then is, though, what do you think happens with Marte's playing time if he gets healthy? What do you think happens with Rojas's playing time, regardless of whether he's healthy or not? Any thoughts on that, Sanjay?
Well, I am really desperately hoping for a number of things. One, I hope is that A-Rod gets a fair shake, which is never a given with our team. I also hope that whatever's ailing Marte is, you know, improves and that he gets better, he gets healthy. I also hope, please, when you bring a guy up from the farm who's doing well, play the guy and let him, like, you know, earn his demotion, as it were, rather than just sitting him on the pine and then sending him down.
Yep. Oh, for sure. So my understanding, I just kind of read this very briefly, and it was not like written in stone or anything, but, you know, they say that probably the earliest that we can expect A-Rod to arrive in Japan would be July. Like, it probably won't be anytime this month just because of visa issues and other things.
Sure. Yeah.
So let's say he arrives, for example, like July, like the first week of July, right? He does his presser. He doesn't have to do any kind of quarantine period, but he would start doing some workouts. And I know that he played AAA this year, so they're not going to need him to do like extensive farm stint, I guess, but I would assume that it would be a minimum of a week. And at that point, I don't know, do you bring him up just for a cup of coffee before the All-Star break, which is coming up towards the end of July? Or do you just kind of say, okay, well, let's bring him in for the road of death and see how he does there? It's going to be an interesting decision that they make. But the thing is, like, by the time A-Rod is quote unquote ready for action, Marte might also be ready for action as well. So then the question is, like, what do you do as a team? If both of these guys are ready at the same time, are you saying, nah, you know what? Sorry, Marte, you've already had your 3+ years. You know, we're trying this new guy. Or do you actually say, no, Marte, we know what you're capable of, and sorry, new guy, but you're just going to have to wait it out until Marte gets hurt again?
You know, if I were in charge, I would give La Pampara a little more chance, knowing what he is capable of, and let the new guy kind of get acclimated first, rather than throw him in the fire and then make things even more difficult for him.
It could be interesting, though, if they do that, and let's say La Pampara does, that being Marte, of course, does heat up and return to his normal or his good self, if you will. What would happen if they signed A-Rod and then they didn't use him on the top squad for the whole year? Because the thing is, like, Marte is kind of similar to Rodriguez in the sense that he does have some experience at third, but I'd rather him play at first. He also has a minimal experience in the outfield, but he doesn't have the speed to cover the Koshien ground. So he's stuck at first and Rodriguez is stuck at first. So there's no way to use them both. I don't think there's any justifying using two import spots on the top squad, even sitting one of them on the bench as a pinch hitter.
Well, maybe we need to hope for like Lightning to strike and for the Central League to go to DH as well.
This year, huh? Yeah, it'd be cool. So I am wondering what all of you think about this whole issue that we've got on our hands here now with the import situation. If you want to hit us up with comments, either on the socials or by email or anything, we are glad to hear from you. So let's jump into the upcoming action, which starts this Friday at Koshien Stadium.
What's going to happen? What's the record going to be? What's going to happen? What's the record going to be? What's going to happen? What's the record going to be? What's going to happen? What's the record going to be?
See the future? Yes, they can. Check it out. H10 predictions. See the future? Yes, they can. Check it out. H10 predictions.
What's going to happen? What's the record going to be?
We are hosting the Yokohama DeNA BayStars for three games. And my man, the first of those games, we've got our ace on the mound, Aoyagi, whose ERA, by the way, is now 0.89.
Woohoo!
Yes. But he is going to be facing Mr. No-Hitter. Imanaga of the BayStars threw a no-hitter in his last start, which was like 10 days ago, or at least 10 days back from this start at Koshien. So he's well-rested and he's coming off a no-hitter. I hope the extra rest and extra time away from pitching hurts him rather than helps him to recoup. But he's also a guy that has a good track record at Koshien Stadium. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens that day.
Well, I'm going with math. The law of averages states that it's just very, very difficult to throw two no-hitters in a row.
Yeah, tell Roki that because he couldn't do it either. And if he can't, then Imanaga sure can't. I'm sticking with that. So the other interesting thing is this would be the fourth pitcher that the Tigers are facing that has a no-hitter this year. If you count Ono's excellent performance against us as a no-hitter, which technically it wasn't because he allowed a hit in the 10th inning, but he went 9 perfect innings. So it was Ono. We also faced Sasaki, and we got some hits off of him, but we didn't score. We also faced Higashihama. We got hits off of him, but didn't score. And so if we do score a run off of Imanaga, it's going to be the first no-hitter guy that we score a run off of this season, despite it being our fourth try.
Well, I wouldn't mind if we scored the run with a ball bouncing off a runner's helmet either.
Anything, man. Anything will do. I would love for it to be a Chikamoto home run, but we'll see. And Chikamoto also said, he said, all I've been thinking about since the end of Interleague is how to get a hit off of Imanaga. So I'm looking forward to Chikamoto busting out and getting us that first run in some way, whether it's off his head or off his bat. Okay, so we're hosting them for three games anyways. I'll be at the middle of those games at Koshien. Then we go on the road to face the Carp, against whom we have not yet won. The good news there is that the Carp were atrocious during Interleague, going 5-13. They're just not the same team that is, 7-0-1 against us so far this year. So it's high time, even though we're going to Hiroshima, it is high time we win some games against them.
And yeah, finally, I'm going with math on that one too.
Yeah,
we just can't keep losing against the Carp.
I like Sanjay's math. Definitely. Okay. And then we are going to be hosting the Chunichi Dragons at Koshien Stadium. I couldn't tell you who's going to be playing or what's going to be happening there. So it's hard to say, but they are also riding a bit of a bummer, at least right now. They didn't have a particularly strong interleague. I think they finished second to last, just ahead of the Carp. And so this is kind of, it bodes well for us that we're riding on a little bit of a high here. I would say in these nine games, though, it would be nice to see us go 6-3. I'm just saying it would be nice. I'm not saying it's going to happen. What do you think, though?
I'm going to do what you don't want me to do. I'm going to say we're going to go 7-2.
Oh, okay. Okay. Expectations sky high from Sanjay. So we're going to sweep one of those series at least.
Yep.
Going to say who?
Dragons.
Okay. I'm good with that. All right. Well, everybody stay tuned because this is some exciting stuff going on with the Hanshin Tigers. Remember, this team was 3-19-1, right? We were 16 games under 500. We're now 6 games under 500. We had a winning percentage when we were 115-1 of 0.067, I believe, something like that. Now it's 455. So, or 453, I should say, I think. So we are definitely on an upward swing here. Let's keep the good times rolling.
We'll be right back.
not gotten your fill of Tigers news, check us out on Patreon for some exciting benefits, or check out the website, thehuntingtigers.com, Twitter at thehuntingtigers, at theoryxbuffalo, if you like the PL contact team, Instagram, Hunting Tigers English News, YouTube, Hunting Tigers English News, and Facebook, also Hunting Tigers English News. All those details are in the show notes. Special thanks for the theme music to, I believe it's Lemon Music Studio, but I might be getting this wrong. And thank you to Sho for mixing the pod for us. Couldn't do this without you. Thank you, Sanjay, for joining as well.
Thank you for having me, as always.
And we are going straight to the post-show show, so you can check that out if you all want on YouTube. But we'll catch you all on the podcast next time.
Aloha.